By the year 2030, statisticians tell us that the number of individuals ages 65 and older will reach 70 million, and people 85 years and older will be the fastest growing segment of the population. But it is an alarming fact that in the U.S. alone, more than one-third of adults 65 and older fall each year. And though the baby boomers may not consider themselves seniors as they approach this stage of life, changes do take place affecting balance. And without good balance, we are at risk for falls, which can lead to fractures and more serious medical consequences, like pneumonia. But do we simply have to accept these changes as we age and the balance difficulties and falls arising from them? Joining me this morning to answer these questions are Dr. Carol Sames, the Program Director of Vitality, a program at the Institute for Human Performance on the Upstate Medical University campus, and Ann Bowden, the program's resident balance expert. Welcome, Ann and Carol. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Carol, first tell us, what is Vitality? What is its mission? When did it start?
The Vitality Program is a fitness program designed for seniors and individuals with chronic diseases and disabilities. The program started in April of 2001, so we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary.
Wow, that's quite significant.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And who are the people that you try to help? I mean, give me some examples of somebody who might end up in your program and how did they get there?
Well, we get a variety of individuals. Sometimes we just get seniors that could be apparently healthy, or maybe they have had one or two risk factors for cardiovascular disease and their physician says, go exercise. And they really don't know what to do. And they like a supervised program. They want some guidance. They don't want to go to a health club facility where they're going to be one of thousands. And so for that individual, we're really providing both education and support and expertise.
And it's kind of individualized attention.
Absolutely. Sometimes we get individuals who do have some significant chronic disease or disability, and they then need the accessibility, the types of equipment, or their water program that we have to offer.
So you have you actually have specialized programs more than they might find at a routine healthcare center.
Absolutely.
I mean, health center, right. And tell us about balance. What is it and why is it important?
Balance is our ability to keep our body weight centered over our feet. So that means while we're moving, going up and down stairs, picking up objects off the floor. And that's important in many tasks throughout the day. So pretty much everything we do throughout the day, standing, moving around, requires us to maintain our balance.
You know, it's interesting because I think we started, I mean, evolutionarily, theoretically, we were on all fours, and then somehow the human became able to stand, and a lot of our problems have developed out of that. I mean, both are obviously our strengths, but also some weaknesses. I know back problems are a huge problem because we kind of evolved from a all-four animal to a bipedal animal. But so balance can change as we age, but I also know that other things happen as we age. Carol, tell us what happens to our muscles as we age, for example?
Well, unfortunately, after about the age of 50, we start to lose muscle mass about 3 to 5% per decade. And people, generally speaking, don't necessarily realize it at first. So we're gradually starting to lose muscle mass, getting weaker.
And I also, and flexibility changes as well, doesn't it, as we age?
Yep.
How does that change?
As we age, our ligaments and our tendons can lose a little bit of elasticity, become a little bit tighter. The key to that is if you aren't using your joints and stretching them and using them regularly, they can gradually tighten up.
So it's kind of use it or lose it idea.
Yeah,
and range of motion is really important.
Yep.
How about our bones, Carol? What happens to our bones as we age?
Well, certainly we know the process of first osteopenia and then osteoporosis, and a lot of times we only associate that with women. But men also develop osteopenia and osteoporosis. They just are fortunate, and they usually start out with more bone mass than women do. Mm-hmm. So they have a little bit longer before it becomes problematic to their health.
What happens to our joints? I know our joints change, too.
Very much so. You have all of the arthritis family. We certainly know that joints and bones will start to deteriorate, causing then a lack of flexibility and range of motion.
So all these things kind of change irrespective, it's basically has to happen. I mean, it's destined to happen, that these changes take place almost regardless of what you do?
Well, no. That's the beautiful thing about exercise. I mean, being active and moving can certainly decrease the slope of that loss. And that's why it's so important to get people on board with why it is important for the body to move.
And it seems to me that all these things, though, have some impact on our balance, Anne, don't they?
That's correct. There's a number of different contributing factors, our muscle strength, our flexibility, our vision, that play a huge role in our balance. And as we age, if any one or more than one of those contributing factors change or are altered, it can alter our balance.
And it seems like there are some other things I kind of read about. For example, if as someone ages, even their mental status or their emotional status can affect their balance. Is that true too?
Absolutely. And the fact that our motor cortex, our ability to move, is slowed down. Our ability to know where our body is in space is also altered. And when you put those factors together, even if there's some decrease in function, when you add them together, you're at a risk for potential falls and loss of balance.
So I guess the question is, what's the answer and do we have to accept it? I'm going to ask you to wait on that answer and give it to me in just a minute. We have to take a short break. I want you to stay with us because we're going to come back and continue this discussion on balance and the ways we can actually maintain it as we age. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink on Air 570 WSYR. Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen, along with Dr. Carol Sames and Ann Bowden, our resident experts on balance and aging. Well, before the break, we were talking about balance and the fact that we have so many people aging and the fact that a lot of people who are older do fall, and there are all kinds of consequences that come from falling. So tell us, what's some of the risk factors for falling or for balance difficulties?
Well, certainly muscle weakness would be one.
Mm. History of falling is considered to be a risk factor, and that's due to increased fear of falling, and it also sets up for potential other falls.
So in other words, that's a good point here. So in other words, if you have fallen in your life, you're saying that the chances are greater that you will fall again?
Yes.
And why would that be, though?
Looking back at contributing factors to balance, if somebody has taken a fall, and typically we look into the past year. So if somebody has fallen in the past year for a specific reason, maybe loss of vision or vision being altered, that does still put them at risk for falling again.
So it's kind of a warning sign. If you fall, and the chances are that whatever factors have contributed to your falling will affect or will mediate another fall. But how does muscle weakness create falling and affect balance?
Well, certainly you need muscle to stand upright. Mm-hmm. And as people start to lose muscle mass, they actually are weak. And so their ability to maybe move and maybe step off a curb, or we have that wonderful threshold between the kitchen and the living room, just that little bump there. And you hit that and you don't have the strength to be able to maintain your upright position.
What muscle groups are most significantly affected, though? I mean, what are most crucial for balance, I guess?
Well, you can't just say one. I mean, certainly trunk strength, which is your abdominal and lower back, are absolutely important because that's going to keep your pelvis or your hips in alignment.
Does that go along with the concept of core strength?
Absolutely.
Is that the same thing?
Yes, very much so. And that's usually an area people ignore. When we think of strength, we think of upper body and lower body, and that's it. And there's that in-between section that really links the upper to the lower body. Hip strength, upper leg strength, lower leg strength, even strength around the ankle, and certainly the flexibility around the ankle are all going to put us at risk if we've lost muscle in those areas.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other things that can affect balance, though? I mean, there seems like a lot of different, it's multifactorial, I think.
Yep. Being diagnosed with a gait or balance deficit puts an individual at risk for falling simply because any type of gait deficit or balance deficit could increase risk of falling.
Mm-hmm. How about things like arthritis? If somebody
certainly
suffers from arthritis, the chances that their balance would be thrown off and therefore falling?
Absolutely. It can. If I have such significant arthritis in my hips and my knees that I've lost range of motion and I have pain, and then I start to not move in a full range of motion, then absolutely that can affect my balance.
And as we age, I think many of us also are taking increasing amounts of medications. And mm-hmm. do you think medications can play a role if people are not exactly always with the program?
Yes. The CDC has outlined that anybody who's taking over four or more medications can be at risk for falling, partially because of interacting side effects between the medications. And then there are certain medications, maybe for blood pressure or depression, that can actually increase your risk of falling because some of the side effects could be dizziness or lightheadedness.
Oh, that's very interesting. So that's definitely something to look out for if you are, as either you yourself are aging and taking more medicine or a loved one is doing that, to understand that actually could be affecting their balance and then your risk of falling increases.
Right.
Are there others?
Obviously, visual.
Impairment.
We need to have vision. We need to have good sensory. We need to be able to feel.
So tactile kinesthetic feedback.
Very much.
Yeah. Isn't that something about proprioception? I mean, I know that's a big word, but tell us what that means and how does that impact on balance and
right.
falling?
Right. Where your body is in space. So we need to know where the limbs are. Mm-hmm. And you will hear people say, you know, I fell and I didn't even realize it till I was halfway down. So the ability to know where I am in space.
Hmm. Isn't there a classic test where they ask you to close your eyes, put your finger out to the side, and then touch your nose to be able to tell if you have it or you don't?
That is certainly one. And when we're talking about people losing their balance, usually it has to do with when they're moving. You know, so that is then another type of proprioception. Where is my foot on contact with the ground? Where am I in space?
That's very interesting. Well, how do we reduce the effects of all these changes and all these problems? I mean, obviously, some of them are, you know, unavoidable. Mm-hmm. And if you're on medications, for example, those are unavoidable. What are some of the things that we can do to improve our balance throughout our lives, perhaps, and certainly as we age, and therefore forestall falling?
Well, one of the things that we recommend, and this goes along with the medications, is first of all consulting with your physician concerning your medications. Possibly, you know, they could change up the medications if there is a side effect that's causing lightheadedness or dizziness. And exercise, starting a regular exercise program, talking to your physician first and starting a regular exercise program that will improve core strength, lower body strength, upper body strength, increase your flexibility, and then most importantly, actually practicing balance exercises in your exercise program. Balance is a skill that needs to be practiced, and it can improve with practice, but it needs to be practiced in incorporation into an exercise program.
And this is where your program comes in. This program, this fall-proof balance and mobility program, is something that you offer. Is it through the Vitality program, or is it an additional program at the Institute for Human Performance?
It's through the Vitality program, yes.
Yeah, it's a special kind of
correct
section or segment of it. And that's what you're doing, Annie, right?
Correct.
And tell us about that. So how does it work? And if somebody was referred to you by a physician who maybe had a few falls and needed some help, how would you help them?
Well, Fall Proof is a comprehensive balance and mobility training program. So we work on balance, mobility, and posture. Balance, it's going to be an 8-week program. So if anybody was interested in signing up, they would consult with their physician. We would get physician approval, and they could join the next 8-week program. So the program will be running every 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And throughout the 8 weeks, we will progress the program working on all the different components that we talked about today that contribute to balance, training, muscular strength, visual, all the different proprioceptive. And we go through all different types of training in that program.
Yeah, do you do weight training?
We do. We do some resistance training.
Yep.
Some what's called functional weight training. So what we do is functional movements that carry over in daily life. So things like maybe a squat while picking something up off the ground. So at the same time, while working on balance, we're working on lower body strength and core strength. We do some seated posture and core work. So we would work on strengthening the upper back and the abdominal and lower back region too.
Do they work with hand weights or machines or as well?
In the Vitality program, we do incorporate hand weights and machines into our resistance training program. The Fall Proof Balance program is primarily we don't use any machines. We use, like I said, body weight, and I use household items throughout the program.
So it's really kind of focused on the pragmatics or the very practical skills that you need to carry out your normal day, the activities of daily living, and you're really helping people strengthen those muscle groups they need and improve the proprioception and the balance to avoid the falls.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. How about flexibility? Are you doing anything with flexibility?
Certainly Annie is in her Fall Proof program. And, you know, the Vitality program, generally speaking, we're working on what we call core components. So we're doing range of motion, flexibility, muscular strength, and endurance. We want individuals to do some type of cardiovascular activity. And so that is incorporated into their individualized program.
But in the special Fall Proof balance and mobility program, you're not specifically working on cardiovascular strength, that type of thing.
No, we do in that program, we do stretches and strength training exercises, but all the stretching and strength training exercises are related to balance and daily activities.
How do you feel that people are doing in your program, for example, Annie?
Pretty well. The program, we just started the program and actually just started this week.
It's a national program,
though? It is a national program. Mm-hmm. And the stats nationally are an estimated 50% improvement on balance and decreasing risk for falling. So I anticipate that we will have similar results in the program. I'm following the program that has been developed by Dr. Deborah Rose out in California at Cal State at Fullerton. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we're anticipating the same results. And
how many people are do you expect or hope to service at a time, for example, or in a given 8-week program?
This 8-week program that we're running right now, we have 11 participants, and I'm trying to keep the number between 10 and 12, simply because when you get into balance training, it is also very individualized, and a number that size is a little bit more manageable than 20 to 30 individuals in a class.
You can give much more individualized care.
Exactly.
Well, what happens if you can't come to a program? What are some things people can do at home, for example, to help with their balance? Are there recommendations like a yoga class or
ideally,
Tai Chi?
You want to get people to be active. You know, it was only 25% of the population that's active. So we want to get people up and moving. I mean, that's the first step. Get off the couch, get moving. And if that even means just getting up off the chair and moving in your house, we can progress all the way to walking outside. But we just want to get people to move. We want to get people to understand that it's so important to just get up and move. Exercise has so many benefits. You know, balance certainly is one of them. Strength is another. Endurance is another. So we just want to get people to appreciate that the body was meant to move, to get up and move first, and then we can work on the specifics.
It seems to me it has incredible impact on your overall mental health as well. I mean, my mother is 87 and she exercises daily, and I think that's all the reason why she is in such good mental health and, thank God, physical health.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right. I think exercise throughout life can be incredibly life-giving.
Absolutely.
So very, very valuable. Well, Dr. Carol Sames and Ann Bowden, thank you so much for joining us and enlightening us on the value of exercise and balance training and helping us all live healthier lives. We've got to take a short break. Stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen, and we'll be right back with some more HealthLink on Air, 570 WSYR.